Albert Bolley was born in 1896, the youngest child of Sam and Nancy Bolley. He grew up in Grand Marais and was one of the town's first high school graduates. When the United States entered World War I in 1917, Albert put his college education on hold and volunteered with the U.S. Army. His letters home to Grand Marais over the following 2 years highlight America's war experience. Albert wrote home to his parents in addition to his brother Bill and sister Blanche. Here are some of Albert's wartime letters with WTIP's Sterling Anderson as the voice of Albert Bolley.
France, June 30th, 1918. Dear Bill, I will address my letter to you this week. I wrote one to you a week or so ago on chances for the ambitious young man in the U.S. Army. Well, Bill, I'm only getting a little more than $30 per, but even at that, I would not be back in the States at the present time for $1 million. The way I look at it is that it is not very probable that there will be another big scrap like this before I am too old to be in it. You and I have hunted moose and deer together, and had a lot of fun on the windward side of them, but as a rule, a moose has a pretty good smeller on him, and if we were not careful, they would smell us and get out of our way. A moose is a big target and cannot shoot back. Over here, if the Germans get on the windward side of us, they might give us a little gas. In that case, it is only necessary to put on a gas mask and wait for it to blow over. Of course, there are cases where these circumstances are reversed. It wouldn't be right if we did not return a little more gas than they give us. The Germans in this sector have guns, too, so it is a good idea to keep your head down when you are in the front line, and if a shell just strikes and makes a hole large enough to bury a house in, it is not a good idea to take the company up in quad formation to look at it, because just as sure as the Lord made green apples, some Germans will see you and waste a lot of perfectly good ammunition. I understand that after we are here 31 years, we can get a little time off to go back to the States for a visit. That will be fine, won't it? I only have about 30 1/2 years to wait. The boys captured a German soldier here a short time ago. He was about 17 years old, and all he had on was a cap, a German uniform, and a pair of shoes. No underwear or socks. The first morning, they fed him about 6 loaves of bread and 1 gallon of coffee. I used to think that I could eat, but you ought to see some of these prisoners. I guess they are trying to help Germany win the war by eating all of our grub. Not long ago, I heard a kiss coming over from Germany, and she began to slow down. I know all of them now. And when this one says, "Where is you?" and seemed to be heading straight for me, I jumped from my dugout when, bang, right over my head she busted, and scrap iron was whistling through the air in all directions. One piece struck right about where I was 10 seconds before. I'm wise to pretty near all the shells now. I can tell by the report and the noise that they make when they go through the air whether it is a 75 or 155 or shrapnel or high explosive, whether it is coming or going, and when and where it is going to stop. I can tell the report of a German rifle from the report of an American or French rifle. I know the difference between the hum of a German airplane and a French airplane, and when I hear a sort of muffled report and a loud zzzz, which sounds as if it is going straight up, and then it turns, I know that Fritz is sending over a torpedo. I was with a little French man for about a month, and you couldn't fool him. If I saw him jump for the dugout, I followed him, and it would not be long before some shrapnel was coming down, or machine gun bullets were knocking sparks off the rocks. Doggone it, Bill. I have to report in today. Write sometime. Love to all. Albert.